NFL Sunday Ticket is now on YouTube and YouTube TV, which means that it just got easier to be an NFL fan, even if you live far away. Like, maybe you like the Bears, but you're hibernating in Panthers territory. But with NFL Sunday Ticket, your out-of-market team is never more than a short distance away, specifically the distance from you to your remote control. NFL Sunday Ticket, now on YouTube and YouTube TV. Go to youtube.com/presale to get $50 off.
Terms and embargoes apply. Offer ends 9/19. No refund. Subscription auto renews.
And we're right out of the gate here as we begin the Adam Gold Show here. Thanks for hanging out. Baker Mayfield is the big story. Y'all Panthers fans remember him. Open the season is easy now. He had probably one of the leakiest offensive lines in the history of offensive lines. Yeah. Okay, I know. Small excuses. But Baker Mayfield today announced as the opening day starter for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, ushering in the post-Tom Brady era. And for Baker, it's his third starting opening day start, third opening day start for his third team.
Yeah. It's big shoes to fill, too.
Cleveland, Brady. Carolina. Yeah, Tom Brady. So you got to step in for Tom Brady. He was duking it out with, no pun intended, duking it out with Kyle Trask. Just a one-year deal, kind of a prove-it kind of thing. And then he had that loss. Everyone loved him because he went to the Los Angeles Rams after he was traded. I say everybody but Victoria and other Panthers fans. Sorry. Right. Did not mean to strike some really raw nerves,
triggered,
apparently.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Him and Matt Rhule both. Like, bye.
We have Bryce Young.
We're good now.
Are we okay?
I'm actually really glad that he's with the Tampa Bay Bucs. He can go mess them up for a little while.
it's an in-division opponent.
Yeah.
You know, Panthers, yeah. Tampa Bay.
I mean, see, he's sneaky like that where he'll come out and throw a bomb and it'll be a great, you know, pass for a touchdown and everybody's like, oh, Baker's amazing. And then, boop, he flops. That's it.
Todd Bowles said he had a little bit more experience, which is why they're going with Baker Mayfield. So, Panthers fans, mark this on your calendars. December the 3rd, Panthers at the Bucs. If Baker is still the starting quarterback at that point, let's just put that out there. And then they play again. It's the season closer, actually. The season finale in Carolina, Tampa in Carolina. So Baker Mayfield, starting quarterback. What could have been, Panthers fans?
Ugh.
What was?
And we're done.
All right. Also, with this, Sam Hartman is the Oprah of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Oprah Winfrey of Notre Dame. How about that? So Sam is getting some NIL deals right now. He is rolling in some money. His latest one, he just did one a couple of days ago with Under Armour. So Sam Hartman, for those of you just joining the college football atmosphere, Hartman spending his entire career with Wake, transfers in the offseason to raise his profile, go make some NIL money. Like, go get it.
Mm-hmm.
Go get yours, Sam Hartman. And he did. So he lands at Notre Dame. His first deal is with Under Armour.
That's a good one.
With Under Armour, what does he do for his entire team? His entire team, he gives them a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
Every guy. So Notre Dame, if you have I'm the walk-on at Notre Dame. Like, I'm Rudy. Rudy.
Right?
Rudy.
Yes.
I just got a pair of shoes.
Yes.
From the quarterback who has yet to take a snap.
Wow.
In an actual game. Now, that'll happen this Saturday against Navy. He has yet to take a snap. So this is all about high hopes, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
his NIL value right now, $1 million+.
Wow. Is it too late for me to make NIL money?
You're still eligible, right?
I mean,
you haven't
used
any of your eligibility.
Never. Not once.
Is there an MMA, like...
There should be.
Like, varsity somewhere? Like, go get it.
Yes.
Go get it. So the Oprah of Notre Dame, Sam Hartman, which is now what we'll call him. So he does the Under Armour deal. Now he's got a Beats by Dre deal.
Wow.
You know who has a Beats by Dre deal?
Who's that?
Like nobody. Like Bronny James.
Wow.
That's like it. I think Livy Dunn, Angel Reese. Like it is the creme de la creme who's got Beats by Dre deals.
Those are some killer deals.
Yeah.
Like, wow, good for you.
So Hartman's got Under Armour, now Beats by Dre. What does he naturally give to everybody on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish team?
Oh, yeah. Headphones.
Headphones.
Yep. Everybody. Or earbuds or whatever.
So dude shows up at Notre Dame, transfers, and starts handing out gifts.
Wow. Buttering them all up.
Legit. Just make it happen. Have all of it.
He's making friends fast.
Have all the cool things. And for Sam Hartman, listen, man, I'm like, go get yours.
Yeah.
Go get it. Because next year, like, again, he has yet to take an actual meaningful snap at Notre Dame.
It's crazy.
He'll be playing against Navy. Unfortunately, he's on offense, not on defense, with a triple option. And then Notre Dame, of course, is coming here to the Triangle for two games with NC State on the 9th and then Duke later on in September. So they got two trips here. Maybe he's the quarterback. Maybe he's not. I hope
maybe he's bringing some beats and sweatshirts or something with him.
This is just one of those things where it's all based on potential. All potential. And this is the guy who's rolling the NIL that's actually being reported. Like, you know, there's Alabama, Georgia players. Drake May currently has a commercial that you can hear across the state. But Hartman's, like, he's banking, like, mm-hmm. making bank. So congratulations to Sam Hartman, the Oprah of Notre Dame. Like, I'm guessing.
You get some beats.
Right, so is it, you know, maybe the next one's pizza or something, but apparently he's working with national brands. So this is the temper point that, as someone who's coached youth sports from time to time, I remember one of the first speeches I ever gave to a team where I was like, listen, this is baseball. Like, listen, your kids are not going to play in the major leagues.
No.
They're not. If they do, congratulations. I will help them get whatever you think they're going to get out of this. But it's a minuscule amount of kids that get to play in the major leagues. I go, we're going to have fun here. Mm-hmm. But what deals like this do, and I do not blame NIL, I just like, go get yours. Mm-hmm. But this, man, this plants a lot of magic beans.
It does.
In a lot of heads of parents going, man, you know what? If I get my kid started in... You know, we're going to raise this generation of quarterbacks where no one's going to be able to catch the ball, but they're all going to be able to throw the ball.
Oh, yeah. All of them.
There's only so many around. And I believe in the NIL era, there were 60 quarterback transfers in the offseason.
Wow.
Like, they keep announcing new starters with all these guys that have gone in all these places. But for Sam Hartman, go get yours, the Oprah of Notre Dame.
Love it.
All right. Jonathan Taylor is on the trading block, which... shows you a couple of things about what's happening in Indianapolis, and I'm getting a little bit worried about that franchise so much that they are replacing the Commanders' worry for a lot of it. Like, I was worried about the Commanders for a long time.
Yeah.
Worried about the Colts a little bit. Jonathan Taylor has been given permission to go out and grab it. Go out and go get your deal. Find a deal that we can line up behind. It's got to be a number one pick. They're looking for, or some sort of equivalent of number one picks, which I'm not sure there is such a thing as an equivalent of number one picks. It's a number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
Where he can be traded and go wherever you want to go. Now, there are a lot of rumors of where he might land. Apparently, the Miami Dolphins are looking to give Tua some help, along with Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. The rich would get a little bit richer in Miami if they could get that deal done, but they would have to give something in exchange. But Jonathan Taylor, that's... quite the prize,
yeah.
If you can put the package together. So Miami is part of that. Why I'm worried about Indianapolis now is Indianapolis has done a couple of things in the last, less than a season, which leads me to believe that the Colts are in incredible disarray, to where even Lucas Oil Stadium, I believe in the Athletic, Lucas Oil Stadium, which is this nice downtown stadium in Indianapolis, was kind of voted towards the bottom of NFL stadiums.
Hey, Carolina Panthers fans, Chris Lee and Dennis Cox here. We're excited to offer you all the inside information on your team with the newest member of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network, Panthers Playbook.
Twice a week, we'll keep you updated on your Carolina Panthers. We're talking about locker room insight, exclusive interviews, and of course, in-depth looks at all of the Panthers' wins.
Touchdown, Carolina!
Panthers Playbook. Download and subscribe today at WRELSportsFan.com or wherever you discover your favorite podcasts.
I digress. When it comes to the Colts, Jim Irsay, I don't know what you're doing now.
No.
You have essentially alienated probably, most likely, yes, he is your top player. You've done so by unloading Frank Reich, which was one of the strangest situations in the situations where you gave Frank Reich like six different starting quarterbacks after Andrew Luck, and then you let him go, and you replaced him with Jeff Saturday.
Yeah.
Who had zero coaching experience whatsoever.
Nope.
But everyone tried to say, oh, he has coaching experience. Listen, I've simulated enough Madden and NCAA football
right.
on PlayStation and Xbox to say, I'm not a coach.
I can't even fill in for one game. Maybe.
I'm like, I'm okay with the little kids and little leagues. Listen, alligator.
Yeah.
Alligator.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, catch with two hands, mm-hmm. you know, swing all the way through kind of thing. I can give you enough instruction, but I cannot get 53 grown men who are being paid millions and millions of dollars on one page to run a couple of plays. I mean, I might be able to do it for one series, but it would be a three and out. Yeah. Let's just be honest with each other. Okay. Jim Irsay now has made some weird hires, trying to put the right pieces in place, but he now has Anthony Richardson as his starting quarterback, who did not play in the last game, which I have major concerns with a rookie quarterback who's not getting reps in actual live fire situations. Shane Steichen's a fine head coach. I remember him at UNLV when I was out west. He's an offensive coordinator, great mind. But now they're trying to pull one of these pieces off, and he's just asking for a first-round pick. I'm like, you need to go get a hoss, first of all.
Absolutely.
But now you have wasted everything that you put into Taylor. A guy who was willing to stay.
Mm-hmm.
He would stay.
Yeah.
If you were willing to let him stay.
Colts fans are going to be the new Commanders fans, I think. They're just going to get so frustrated with all these bad moves year after year. I feel for them.
That is my genuine concern.
Yeah.
Is that it's not concern. It's probably a good thing for the NFL that there's something new to focus on based on the feel good. Oh, my goodness. It was like, I'm not sure I can say that word. Let's just call it. It was just this big, big warm hug last night during the preseason game between Washington and Baltimore.
Yeah.
That it was such a warm and fuzzy moment
mm-hmm.
that all of a sudden, now that we're talking about Indianapolis, it feels like, oh, we'll just shift the dysfunction one time zone to the to
exactly.
the west.
Yep.
And what goes on in the Colts? And if the Colts come stumbling out of the gate and Taylor gets the opportunity to do, I told you so,
mm-hmm.
I told you so. Where does that leave the Colts? And for that roster in general, like, the glory days are gone. Like, we can only write and report and talk so much about how Andrew Luck was the prototypical quarterback, and now he just fishes in his wonderful, like, designer home outside of Indianapolis and goes to the training camps and
with his just 20 kids.
Yeah, and just waves hi and things like that. And how they parted ways with Peyton Manning in the most generous way possible, and they still love him and honor him, even though he went to go win a Super Bowl in Super Bowl 50 with the Broncos, although that was a defensive one Super Bowl, not an offensive one Super Bowl, because Brock Osweiler actually won a playoff game with the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
I digress. Indianapolis, for a franchise that fans are like, it's a really great fan base, like the Colts fan base, it is the most Midwestern fan base you can think of. Like, they go there to watch football. It's kind of like Vikings fans.
Yeah.
Vikings fans go there to watch football. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know. Like, if you're in Minneapolis, you're in Indianapolis, if you go to the Appalises.
Yeah.
If you go to either the big Appalises
mm-hmm.
and you go to something at either one of those stadiums, you are going there specifically for that event at the stadium. Like, I am there to watch football. I am there to watch the ghost of Prince
right.
resurrect himself. This is what we are going there for. There are no diversions whatsoever. Like,
yeah.
this is what we're doing. And for Colts fans, I'm starting to feel for you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I really am. Like, I'm getting in the feels here.
Yeah.
Like, not so much for Commanders fans because it's the NFC East.
Yeah.
And you know, Dallas and the Giants and the Eagles, you all have your kind of that we all have to kind of get over.
They definitely have it.
and Commanders fans have just a god-awful stadium. Can I say that?
Yeah,
it's an awful
We've
stadium.
We've talked about
yeah,
that before.
It's an
here.
Awful stadium. You know, and I have Eagles. I have friends who are Eagles fans, and they're tempered Eagles fans. But, you know, for this to go so sideways for Indianapolis, I'm struggling with how that is coming about. And for them, I feel for you. But for NFL teams that are in the market for Jonathan Taylor, could the Panthers part ways with a pick and we could have a two-headed running back in the backfield? Are we okay with Chuba Hubbard as the backup with Miles Sanders?
If there's somebody who can fill those shoes and make stuff happen.
Hey, Jonathan Taylor would be
I'm for it.
Heck of a prize to grab.
All yes. Right.
What else do we got here as we kick things off? Oh, yeah, let's talk about ACC expansion just a little bit. And so there's all this hot, steaming breath that's coming out there still. There was a report this morning at ESPN that didn't happen. The ACC presidents canceled their meeting. Lots of smoke no fire, so we'll push on from that. But they were going to meet this morning. Allegedly, Cal and Stanford were going to come up again.
Ah.
So, it just, as we continue talking about what the ACC shouldn't do or should do, if that was actually going to be a thing, this should have already happened. Like, it, at some point, you just have to give. There's not enough, there's no more pushing and shoving to go between the two. Now, having said that, there is an North Carolina legendary coach who is not a big fan of the idea of the ACC expanding, and that is the soccer coach for Carolina, Anson Durant.
Hey, Carolina Panthers fans, Chris Lee and Dennis Cox here. We're excited to offer you all the inside information on your team with the newest member of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network, Panthers Playbook.
Twice a week, we'll keep you updated on your Carolina Panthers. We're talking about locker room insight, exclusive interviews, and of course, in-depth looks at all of the Panthers' wins.
Touchdown, Carolina!
Panthers Playbook. Download and subscribe today at WRELSportsFan.com or wherever you discover your favorite podcasts.
And he talked about
these are phenomenal schools academically, but also they have great sports programs. If you look at the Director's Cup, Stanford dominates it. So you're bringing in a truly elite combination of academics and athletics with those two schools. But Stanford, extraordinarily, I mean, they're on the top of everyone's academic list and also very high with their, almost every sports team on campus being in a position to challenge for a national championship. So that would be a wonderful, you know, I guess, a feather in the cap of our commissioner. But for us, you know, with boots on the ground, this is going to be horrible for us because then, of course, our budgets aren't extraordinary as it is. And now we would try to add in, you know, flights across the country to play these two schools, which will be incredibly expensive. And then the fact that now we're exposing the whole country. Not that Stanford and Cal don't have a national recruiting platform. Of course they do. But if you put those two schools in the ACC, it's going to be so easy for them to recruit nationally. So it'll just benefit them, in my opinion, not us. We've built the best women's soccer conference in the country. And there's no way I want to share the glory of our conference with two schools that could do a very good job recruiting against us. And so basically, I want Cal and Stanford to die on the vine. I look forward to, you know, seeing Stanford, which is a very difficult school to recruit against. I would look forward to them basically having it be so difficult for them to recruit the elite soccer player. And then we would be in a position to obviously gain those kids and, you know, put the ACC in an even stronger position. So I think in some respects I can see why Jim is interested in this, you know, as our commissioner of the ACC. But for us that, you know, have to basically do the work and have to pay for it, no. And these are schools that, you know, yep, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. It's going to be harder and harder and harder for them to recruit. And that means that benefits the rest of us in the ACC.
Die on the vine.
I know. Wow.
Die on the vine. Just die on the vine. He doesn't want to share the glory of the ACC. The glory of the ACC. You know what? I'll buy it in the sport that he's in, and I get it. Recruiting for top players, trying to stay ahead of the game, they do gain. He is correct. I absolutely agree with him. Stanford and Cal get all the gain. If they get to recruit in ACC country, they do get the opportunity to be in a larger platform. They do get to be on the East Coast. Academics set aside, the financials, yeah, it's kind of squirrely as whatnot. I'll buy it with him. I do. I think Cal and Stanford, to be honest, their best role, as opposed to dying on the vine, would be to go completely independent at this point and just run it back that way. That allows them to spread their Olympic hopeful wings in the Olympic sports and things like that. They could still play football, of which, you know, they have an unproven coach in Troy Taylor right now. He was the coach at Sac State last year. Cal has Justin Wilcox. They also have you NC State fans, Ben Finley, as one of their possible starter quarterback. They haven't announced their starter yet at Cal. So that's a name that'll ring a bell for you. But for the ACC to expand, I'm not quite sure if Stanford and Cal. Matter of fact, I am sure Stanford and Cal are not the right choices for this conference. It doesn't give you any sort of advantages whatsoever. I'm not even worried about slicing the pie at this point. Yeah. Set the finances aside. It's not good business. I agree with him about recruiting. All it does is open it up for other schools to come in here, and especially in a sport like soccer where North Carolina, the Carolinas are certainly a hotbed, the East Coast, definitely you could see a few people going that way. Just go, hey, you know what? I want to see Alcatraz.
Yeah.
I want to sip the fruits of wine in Sonoma. I want to have these things. I'm all about it, but die on the vine. I'm sure that was a poke at the wine country thing, die on the vine. But he definitely was kind of aiming that one straight at the crosshairs, and I don't blame him for it. I really don't. That's where he needs to be. As for the ACC expansion, meh, SEC expansion, we'll get into that a little bit too. And for the remnants of the Pac-12, if the Oregon State, Scott Barnes is the athletic director at Oregon State, if he thinks he can get the Pac-12 back together again, that is a Humpty Dumpty situation to where it might be best to kind of put everything on eBay at this point, see how much money you can get out of that, because certainly the college landscape changes after this year, especially in football. But when it comes to all these conferences and moving around, everything turns over pretty quick. I need to reintroduce myself. Paul Eihander in for the Adam Gold Show today. Adam's back tomorrow. Victoria is still here, her ever-present smile and wit will be here in place, and you can expect all the slightly less than amusing things that Adam does during his show to be even more amusing.
Just say like Wrexham.
As I do them today. Wrexham. Let's just say Wrexham more often. It's like saying Wrexham. You know they're doing a season 2 of that show.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. What more can you say? Yeah. Like, it's more Ryan Reynolds soccering.
Right.
You know?
It's not him, being Deadpool.
It's the great popcorn crisis of Wrexham. What will they do? Will they charge more for popcorn?
Right. It's a great debate.
Yeah, there's only so much could go around. I love the town. It's great. Thank you for introducing us to this great town. But that you can go soccering. But I'm sure Adam Gold and I can get into a parking lot fight. We'll be the undercard to Zuckerberg and Elon Musk.
What's the real football?
Yeah, there you are. You can officiate. You can officiate that one, Victoria. You can absolutely do that.